T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Christopher, we on the road. Let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. That's right. We have a full boat show, and we brought the show out on the road. So if you're in Lake Zurich or anywhere around Lake Zurich, which might as well be the other side of the world from where I live, but people do live here, so you should come out. We're here at Chasers in 830 Rand Road. It's a Miller Lite top draft broadcast. Lance Briggs will be here with me from 7 until 830. We've got a lot of stuff planned for you tonight. We're actually giving away a pair of tickets to the Bears-Patriots game, courtesy of Miller Lite. So if you're in the area, you can be eligible to win. So please come see our people. The Score staff is here. They will take all of your information. If we draw your name, you will get tickets to go see the Bears take on the Patriots at Soldier Field. We have got a lot of stuff for you tonight. Let me just run it down before I get into where I've been and all sorts of stuff, and we can start things off with the best topics. Did I talk about Cars for Kids? This hour of the show being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4-KIDS. So, on tonight's show, we are going to talk a little bit of Blackhawks. I had a really incredible conversation with John Weideman a couple weeks ago for my podcast that I do independently called The House of L. If you haven't checked it out, it's a lot of fun. There's a link in my bio on Twitter and on Instagram if you want to check it out. But considering how well the Blackhawks have started out, and particularly Jonathan Toews, I wanted to run a little bit of that interview. And it's kind of cool because Mitch has given me permission here and there to pull stuff that I'm never, ever going to use on The Score again for the pod. And I can be reciprocal, where it's a really good thing that I had on the pod that I could bring to The Score. And I thought with the start that the Blackhawks are on, that you might enjoy hearing a little bit from John Weideman. And then hopefully you'll go check out the entire interview on the podcast. I'm also going to spend some time talking about UFC 229. There's a lot to discuss, and my buddy Dave Ross is going to be on the show, whether it was the lead-up to or the aftermath. The fight itself was worth, you know, 5 minutes of talking about, because Habib just went in there and did work. But I want to talk with Dave Ross about it, so we're going to do that at 6:40. Author Jeff Perlman, who wrote he's written a lot of great football books, but he wrote a book about the history of the USFL. And we did this interview, what, a week ago or whatever? But we didn't have any place to put it because, you know, there was baseball and then there was basketball and then there was football. So now we have an opportunity to share. We will do that at 9 o'clock tonight. And the biggest guest that we're going to have on the show, both figuratively and literally, is Lance Briggs. He's going to join me here at Chasers from 7 until 8:30. So Boogie and I, that's his nickname, Boogie and I are going to be hanging out from 7 until 8:30. I'm sure we'll talk about the Bears, but I got a text message from Lance on Saturday that said, "Just saw Venom, highly recommend it." And I told him that we would talk about it. So he's got a movie review, and you know me and Lance like to geek out a little bit, so we're going to do that. I'm excited to get the opportunity to talk with him about a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm excited to talk with you. The phone number is 312-644-6767 if you would like to text the show. The text lines are available. 670-11 is the way you can do that. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. It's the same tag, at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. Man, I missed you. I really, really did. I also needed to get away from you. So at the end of last week, you ever have one of those weeks where it feels like everything is just kind of crashing down on you? Like there's just not enough time for all the things that you want to get done. And you're like, I'm going to go insane if I don't go somewhere. Like it's very rare that I get to the end of my rope. You know me, I like to do a lot of stuff. I like to keep busy. I like to be a part of a lot of things. I have a lot going on. I have my class at DePaul. I have the podcast. I have this show over on NBC Sports Chicago. I've got this radio show. So I got a lot going on, and I just had enough. So usually what happens is when I've had enough, or if I'm getting close to having enough, I go to the desert. And I went to the desert this past weekend. Luckily, White Panther, if you're new to the show, White Panther is my wife, aka Mel. White Panther had a long weekend. So she was off of her job Friday, and she had yesterday off. And I said, this is perfect. This is perfect. The Bears are on a bye. I don't have to worry about anything. I can get my ass out of town. So we went out to the desert, and we had a great time. I got a lot of pics on the Instagram, if you're into that. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. A lot of cool pics. We went to Sedona and hung out in Sedona for a little bit, and it's just breathtaking up there. We were going to get ambitious because we stayed in, like, the Phoenix-Scottsdale area. We were going to get ambitious and drive up to the canyon, but then we were like, nah, because let me tell you what happened. I promise we will come back around to sports. If you would just indulge me for a couple of minutes, I need to talk about this. So I get to the car dealership. It is Enterprise. They pick you up. They didn't pick me up from the airport because they didn't have any cars. So we went to the dealership in Scottsdale, and they were kind of out of cars too. So we're just sitting there waiting for cars to come back because, you know, people were bringing the cars back late or whatever. And they offered the lady in front of me, they said, well, we got this convertible. Would you like the convertible? And she's like, yes, because she just wanted to get out of there. And I was like, I feel you. I feel you. And so her husband or slash boyfriend was like, all of your stuff's not going to fit into that car. And I'm sitting there in the deal, like going, how small is this car if your stuff's not going to fit into it? So 2 minutes later, she comes back in and she goes, yeah, I can't take it. My stuff's not going to fit in the car. So I was like, I'll take it. I will take that car because I was ready. I was ret to go. And White Panther travels pretty light. She has a carry-on bag. That's all she needed for the 3 days that we were going to be in the desert. I have two bags. I usually, you know, just in case, like I have like a laptop and all sorts of stuff. And the trunk of this car barely fit my overhead bag. Like it fit perfectly. They gave me I think it was a Mazda MX-5. It is the smallest car I have ever seen. You know what? I forgot to tweet a picture of it. I will tweet a picture of it during the break. It is the smallest car I've ever seen. I've never driven a convertible before. Now, White Panther, this is great for her. Hair gets to blow in the wind, all that good stuff. Me, I ain't got no hair. So it doesn't really have the same level of appeal to me that it had for her. Then my agent called me and was like, hey, so heard you're in Phoenix. Why don't you go check out the Suns? And I was like, okay, because he got me tickets for it. It was a nice little gift. I was like, okay. So we went to the Suns stadium. Nice stadium, like great little thing that they got going on. Awful basketball, like terrible preseason basketball is rough by all accounts. And I'm telling you, DeAndre Ayton still doesn't like playing defense. I hope that Tyson Chandler can help him, but he still doesn't like it. Wait, I've gotten off track. So anyway, back to this car. This car barely fit the two of us. And here's what I realized. It's the thing about getting old. Little cars are really difficult to get in and out of. I was more concerned of, is this car going to make it up to Sedona? Because Sedona is like 4,500 feet. So you're doing some climbing. And I'm like, how is this little ass car going to be able to make it? It made it. And we had an incredible experience in Sedona. And I got to recharge my battery, and it was cool. But I said to her, I think I figured out that we're an SUV family. I think I figured that out. Like, we're not a convertible family. It was fun.
Lawrence, like, who buys? I mean, I'm not to besmirch the people who are the great folks of Mazda. I don't know if they're a sponsor or not, but who buys a two-seater? Who are these selfish people buying two-seaters?
Well, this is what we were wondering. Like, and here's, you ever have that moment? It's called something. I know that there's someone in the audience who's smarter than I am that knows the name of this, but when something comes into your world and then that's all you see. So I get this, and it's the Miata, right? The MX-5 is the old Miata. I saw nothing but in Scottsdale. I went for a walk Saturday morning, and I came back, and I told Mel, I was like, I saw four of those MX-5s just parked. And I just sat there going, is it a midlife crisis car? Is it a young people's car? Oh, there's something else that I saw out in the desert that will make its way to Chicago next summer. I guarantee you it will make its way to Chicago next summer. They have scooters out in Phoenix, Scottsdale that are like divvy bikes. They're here? Oh, no, that's going to be a disaster. These like motorized scooters. And we were just trying, because people were just, they would just be in front of folks' house. Like, there wasn't like some like place where you could gather them all up. They literally were just hanging out in front of people's house. It was amazing. And so I asked one of the Lyft drivers, I said, so what are these things? He said, well, you pay like $1 a minute and you get to ride around. And then when your minute's up, like, it just stops. I'm like, what? Like, that's crazy. But that is on its way. On its way. Texas says old retired people buy two-seaters unless it's a Corvette. See, that's the thing. I saw a Corvette Sunday morning. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that two-seater I could do. This two-seater, it was so small. It's hard for me to even describe how small it is, other than to say, from the driver's seat, I am not a tall man. If you've met me, you know I'm 5'9 on a good day. I could reach back to where the trunk was from the driver's seat. That's how small the car was. The car was so small that we had gotten some stuff while we were there. Like, White Panther got a blanket. I got a glass from Tempe's improv. And I'm like, I don't think that we've got enough room in this car for all of this stuff that we bought. It was that small. It's just... All right, so wait. People are starting to text in on what it is now. The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. All I know is that I had never seen this car before. This car had never been in my mind. I'm driving this car, and now all I can notice is that car, like, as I'm driving along. So I'm not sure who does it, but Herbie, I can tell you this. It won't be me. And if you see me with one, if 10 years from now I'm driving a two-seater, you have permission to punch me in the face. And I don't mean like I have a rental car situation again. I mean, if that is my mode of transportation around the city, you have permission to punch me in the face. I don't know if I'll ever do that again. It was cool. Like, it was cool to just kind of like let the top down, and the mechanism of letting the top down was cool. But getting out of that thing, I need to go see a chiropractor. My back is killing me from that.
Yeah, as the texters point out, it is Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, frequency illusion.
Okay. All right, good. I appreciate that people could help. So the texter says, how tall are you with the afro? Well, it's been a long time since I've even had hair long. I would, maybe 5'11"? I don't know. Back in the day when I was rocking the high top fade in the 90s? But that was a long time ago. It's been I've kept my hair fairly short for the last decade because there's not a lot of it to spare. So I'm just getting people ready for the inevitable me bald with a goatee. Like, that is probably going to happen. Like, out for the end of my life, it'll be evil Lawrence. Like, that's what it'll look like. It'll be like, remember that episode with Spock? Anyway, so before I get back to the old sports-a-roo, and again, I appreciate you texting in with your thoughts and helping me out on this whole thing. The weekend was great. The food was phenomenal. Shout out to Goff, because I texted Jason, because Jason had been to a place out there that I didn't know about called The Mission. It was incredible. We that was the first place we went to go eat, and it was awesome. The whole weekend was filled with incredible food and a great time, and I topped it off by seeing Dan Soder perform at the Improv at Tempe. He was amazing. Amazing. I'm a big fan of the Bonfire show that he does with Big J Okerson. He and I have become like Twitter buddies, and I tweeted that I was going to be out there. It did not disappoint. He slayed. And Shane Gillis, I want to say Shane Gillis was his last name, opened up for him. He was dynamite as well. The whole thing was money in the bank. It was a really, really good time. So, okay, now that you're all caught up with me, I want to get caught up with you. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a week ago tonight, we were all getting ready for the Cubs to play in the wild card game. And then a week ago, well, I guess in the morning, tomorrow morning, we were all disappointed because the Cubs weren't moving on, and now the Brewers are in the league championship series. Like, a week goes by. It's felt like with me leaving town, all of this stuff like felt like it was ages ago, but it wasn't. I was sitting there in the house enjoying my life, like watching the game, watching drama-filled baseball, and then it was just over. It was just over. And now you look up, the damn Rockies are gone. You're like, you're sitting there going, congratulations to the Rockies, man. And then poof, 3 days later, they're done. Done. You're done, son. You're done. What I thought really, what was great for me, but what sucked for you was, I looked at the bye week as an opportunity for me to get away and get recharged. I needed it. I'm just telling you, your boy needed it. But I felt for you while I was sitting there in Arizona watching terrible football, because my God, are the Cardinals terrible. And the Niners with C.J. Beathard, no disrespect to all the Hawkeye, he's trash. While I'm sitting there, I'm going, if you're a Cub Bear, if you're one of those people who's a Cub fan and a Bears fan, it had to have been torture. Because here's what you get. Here's what you get. On Sunday, you were like, yeah, Trubisky with 6 touchdowns. Yeah, yeah, Milwaukee, we'll see you tomorrow. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? You're feeling great. Like, you're on cloud 9. And then Monday happens, and you're like, that's messed up. But Trubisky has 6 touchdowns, and the Rockies going to be tired when they get here. We're going to kick their ass, and then we're going to see Milwaukee again. And then some bad stuff happened, and the Cubs lost. You know what was funny? I felt like there were a lot of people who were at Wrigley Field that were going, so we play tomorrow, right? Like, I think there were people that were just sitting there in shock that it was all over. So you go through all of that, and at least you have to comfort you. And I was joking with people like, hey, Khalil Mack's still on your team, so there's that. But then you get deprived of watching the Bears because the bye week happened to fall on the week that the Cubs weren't in the playoffs anymore. So I want to talk about what your weekend was like. I gave you my weekend. I want to talk about what your weekend was like. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text the show at 67011. What did you do? How did you handle it? And was it weird? Because it was weird for me. Obviously, like, I'm used to working. But, like, I kept thinking about Chicago. I kept thinking, what the hell? If you're a Cub Bear, what the hell were you doing? Like, what were you, was it, like, apple picking time? Were you going out there trying to figure out a Halloween costume? Did you even watch the baseball? Have you abandoned it? I want to discuss all of that. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to take a break. This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Your phone calls on what you did after the crazy week that was, coming up next here on The Score.
The last week was incredibly disappointing, and the initial shock of not playing baseball yesterday was hard.
That's Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer talking about something that we're discussing. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Thank you so much for making us the choice on your ride home. I'm glad that we have the chance to hang out and really stretch our legs tonight. We got 4 hours. My man Dave Ross is going to join me around 6:40. We're going to talk about UFC 229. Even if you're not a UFC fan, if you're not an MMA fan, there's no way you escaped what happened this weekend. And I'm going to talk about some of the technical stuff with Dave about the fight, but I also want to talk about some bigger picture stuff when it comes to the way that we allow people to talk in the fight game. Sometimes there are consequences and repercussions. We'll discuss that. Let's get to your weekend. Let's go out to Palatine and talk with John. Hey, John, you're on The Score. John, you with me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. You're on The Score. What's on your mind, sir?
Not much, man. First time caller, long time listener. Yeah, it was kind of a bummer with the Cubs, you know, obviously out of it, and then we got the bye week to the Bears, but it couldn't be any better for me because this last Saturday was the first Saturday I had off all summer. Woke up at 4 a.m. to watch the WWE Super Showdown, which was horrible, and then went to Fogo de Chao with the wife Saturday night. Sunday, got stuff done around the house, so it kind of panned out and, you know, kind of got the Cubs woes out of me.
All right, that's pretty good, John. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. It seems like that you were very productive on your weekend. You found some time to hang out with the wife. You found some time to do stuff around your house. You went to Fogo de Show, right? That's how they pronounce it. I still haven't been there yet. I need to go because I need to go. I will tell you, I gave myself like the whole weekend to not do nothing. And so like I ate. We ate good. You know, I hit some of my favorite spots. Like, I love Grimaldi's in Scottsdale. We did that for pizza. Chompy's. I love Chompy's out in Arizona, so we hit that up. But Jay gave me Michigan, hit that. Then we found, like, this little Mexican place in Tempe that was dynamite. It was just hanging out, like, in a strip mall. And the food and the service couldn't have been better, like, family-owned. Ate real good. And got lemon ricotta French toast out in Sedona. Woo! Money in the bank. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to new Welsh Ryan Arena on November 2nd. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Let's go out to Buffalo Grove and talk with Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on The Score.
How's everything going tonight? I want to tell you real fast, I was in the Carolinas this weekend. Carolina was fantastic. I have a group of guys that we go with, college guys. We go to different places, so we do a pro game and a college game in the same weekend. So we were at South Carolina, Missouri, game-winning kick on Saturday, and then we went to the Giants-Panthers game and a 63-yard game-winning kick on Sunday. It was fantastic. Had a wonderful weekend. You know, sorry the Cubs didn't do well. I love the Cubs, but this was planned, and it was easy to get away from everything.
Steve, thanks for the phone call. That actually works out great for you because, you know, it could have been in a situation where, wait, would it have been? No, No, the Cubs would have – no, Sunday they would have been playing if we're talking about them playing in the DS. Well, you could have been in a situation where you felt guilty because you weren't there. And this way, I mean, it's not great that they lost, but it's great that you had a plan. You were ready for it. By the way, I put a picture of the Miata up. It's the top thing right now on my Twitter account, at Lawrence W. Holmes. If you want to see this teeny tiny thing, we parked it at Bosa Donuts, which is also one of my favorite places. I know there's one out in St. Charles, but yeah, there's one in St. Charles. But there's something about West Coast. At some point, there will be an episode of the podcast devoted to donuts. I'm just telling you that right now. Let's go out to Janesville and talk with Guy. Hey, Guy, you're on the Score.
Hey, as a lifelong Cub fan, I got to tell you, the loss hit me kind of hard, but rub a little salt in the wound. I'm up here in Wisconsin, so I have to listen to the 85% of my friends that are Brewer fans, so that makes it a little worse. But then I'm thinking, hey, football season's here, all right. Well, yeah, I'm a Packer fan, so you know how that game went on Sunday. So that just gives you a little insight onto my weekend, Lawrence. Have a good one.
Hey, Guy. You're going to take some grief, and you're going to deserve it. Brewers fans have every right to pound their chest right now. Every right. I doubted them. I thought the Cubs would turn into the Cubs, and it would be over. And for a while, the Cubs did turn into the Cubs. And then they did this thing where they were being the 2018 Cubs, which is up and down, up and down. They picked the wrong week to be up and down because the Brewers were like, they were like bad boy in like 95. Ain't never going to stop. Christian Yelich is just doing whatever he wants with the baseball right now. It's kind of fun to watch. And for all those people that were like, oh, it's not a rivalry. How about now? Is it now? No? Yeah? Probably. Northside and Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Score.
Hey, since the Cubs game, I haven't watched any baseball. I'm done with baseball for right now, and I started getting so depressed, I started watching some Bulls preseason basketball.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call. We've got the Bulls preseason games here, and I'm happy that they're here. I'm looking forward to the regular season. But preseason basketball is rough, and having sat through a preseason basketball game on my vacation, at one point, I looked over at White Panther, and I was like, we're leaving. So she's like, okay. And then we just started walking around downtown Phoenix. Don't ever walk around downtown Phoenix. Don't do it. It will depress you if you walk around downtown Phoenix. I mean, it's something that we should deal with because clearly the opioid crisis has hit the desert. But it's not fun. That's why I usually kick it in, like, Paradise Valley or Scottsdale or even Mesa if I'm going down there. Just a little pro tip from me to you. Let me check out a couple of your texts. 815 texter. Lawrence, I picked a team, the Dodgers, to root for from afar. I am displaced Illinoisan living in southern Wisconsin. And I don't want to see the Brewers World Series gear everywhere. Okay. You sure the Dodgers the team that you want to pick? Because they hate the Cubs too. Yasiel Puig was saying, we'll see you. Unfortunately, the Cubs didn't live up to their end of the bargain. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Tired of your big bank not listening? Talk to Lakeside Bank. They listen. They actually help the average guy, and Lakeside is just the right size to get anything you need done. Join Lakeside Bank. It's about time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Dave Ross. And no, it's not Grandpa Rossi. It's Sauce, the other Dave Ross. He works at Stadium Network. He's one of my good friends in the business. He loves and covers MMA. I got to pick his brain on UFC 229. And if we have time, we'll pick your brain on it as well. Lance Briggs is going to join me at 7 o'clock. We are here at Chasers in Lake Zurich. If you are in the area, you should come through. Why? Because we're giving out Bears-Patriots tickets to a lucky customer. So we'll be here. Rand Road, Chasers, Lake Zurich. There's a lot to digest there. We got more show coming up next. I hope you stick around. You're listening to The Score.
There's the tap! Still undisputed! Khabib Nurmagomedov has finished Conor McGregor tonight!
Look at him. Look at him screaming at the corner. He's screaming at Dylan Danis, Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach. Look at him. Oh,
and
no,
now Khabib jumps the fence.
No.
Whoa!
No.
And he's going right at Dylan Danis. Mayhem. Oh, no.
Highlight courtesy of the UFC. Their pay-per-view this past weekend was bananas, to say the least. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 10 o'clock. We took the show out on the road. We are at Chasers in Lake Zurich on Rand Road. Lance Briggs is going to join me at 7 o'clock. UFC 229 was, there's a lot. Let me just, before I bring Sauce on to talk about this, I will tell you that everything that went into that fight, and the fight, and then the aftermath of the fight, are only going to up the dollars for whatever comes next between Khabib and Conor McGregor. But I will say that there's what I think that we saw was a warning flare that when you deal in some of the isms that Conor McGregor deals in, most people can kind of just let it wash off their back and be like, oh, that's just what fighters do. It was clear that's not how Khabib felt. That he still was, that he was fueled by a level of disrespect that most people would be fueled by. And for some people, it stops when the beating happens. Like, oh, I literally got my pound of flesh. I beat the hell out of Conor McGregor for four rounds. I am, my honor has been restored through my fist. And that was not the case. He was still furious. So furious that he went out into the crowd, which is the only danger for the UFC, that crowds get involved. But it's just, that's why I wanted to bring Dave Ross on, to give me some background on everything and talk about the fight itself, but also some of the other ramifications. Dave Ross is the man. You should check out his show, Sauce and Shram. Strangely enough, he's the sauce of the Sauce and Shram, even though his partner, Tyler, is called Sauce Boy. It's a long story, but you can check them out at Stadium, at Watch Stadium, and you can follow him on Twitter, at DRossSports. What's up, Sauce?
Man, Lawrence, it's always great to talk to you. And it's very confusing. I'm even confused which one is Sauce, which one is Shram. But you got it right. He's Shram, I'm Sauce, for the benefit of the show. But, dude, I love listening to you break it down, and you nailed it right off the head as to why Khabib still wanted more of Conor. Like, he was so mad that Conor McGregor tapped out. He didn't even get that choke synced in. It was more like a crossface. And he wanted more of Conor. And then he went after Dylan Danish, who was right there, hopped over outside of the octagon. And I had Dylan Danish on my show not too long ago at the United Center, and I found him to be very arrogant. I found him to be very brash, and everything that Khabib Nurmagomedov hates. And so when you say, yes, it's going to up the dollar, that is 100% accurate. But when you also say that that was real vitriol and hatred, you've nailed that on the head. That was a man who wanted to get his revenge and didn't feel it was sufficient by just getting Conor McGregor to tap out. There was nothing contrived about that. That was pure hate and animosity, and this is not done by a long stretch.
How do you think Dana handled it in the aftermath? And do you think that he was putting on an act of concern, knowing that,
no,
that this is going to give him a lot of money? He's going to put a lot of money in his pocket.
I'll tell you this, though, Lawrence, for the first time, and I've got to know Dana, you know, as well as you can get to know Dana from kind of afar and just from interviewing him a couple times, in that he was scared. Like, Dana White was so apprehensive for a guy who doesn't get timid that he would not put the belt around Habib because he knew the majority of the people in that arena on Saturday night were of Irish descent and were there for Conor McGregor. And Lawrence, I've been to a Conor McGregor fight in Las Vegas. I was there for UFC 196 against Nate Diaz. And I'm telling you, when Nate Diaz has his boys from Stockton, they're outnumbered 8-1. It's not close. So, yes, Habib has his fans and has his contingent, but it's not close. And if Habib Nurmagomedov had gotten inside that octagon after the melee and Dana White put a belt around his waist and Joe Rogan put a microphone in his face, there was going to be more to come. He did the right thing, if you can believe this, by diffusing it as best he could. And he tried to explain to Habib, who was begging, where's my belt? Where's my belt? And Dana said to him right then and there, I can't do this now. He literally said, there will be a riot. And he was right. And I think you're right about the flares, that Dana saw it for the first time. Look, it's great and it sells. And when people say they've never seen this before, then they don't know their boxing history. And I know you do. Andrew Golota, Riddick Bowe comes to mind. Mike Tyson, Andrew Golota also had an incident when Golota was leaving the ring. We've seen it with Tyson and Lewis at press conferences before. I mean, we can go back to Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, with the fight of the century and what Muhammad did to sell that fight to Joe Frazier. And Joe was so ostracized in his own community because of the things of vitriol that Muhammad Ali spewed his way. So we've seen this in the fight game in the live long day, and it sells. It's ugly, but it does sell.
So here's my question, though. After, you have to understand the type of person that you're dealing with. And now I would hope that the UFC and Conor understand the person that they're dealing with Habib. And some of it was just when I heard Conor, you know, going through the resume of Habib's corner and basically saying that he was a 9/11 terrorist. I just wonder if there's going to be an attempt to try and lessen that. Because you could have
I tell you why I don't think that's going to happen, Lawrence, because Conor McGregor and Dana said this too on certain degrees with fighters like Ronda Rousey, even John Bones Jones to an extent for all the personal issues John Bones has had outside of the octagon. He allows these fighters to be themselves, and sometimes that's a very ugly side, and you are reciting some of the ugliness that Conor can bring, but he looks at it as mental warfare. He looks at it as part of the fight, the extended fight outside the octagon. Whether or not we think it's fair or foul, that's the way Conor's done this. Like, this isn't new to just Habib Nurmagomedov. He did this with Jose Aldo, who he called Jose, and who he tried to tell him that even in Brazil he wasn't liked anymore, and that all of his people were not rooting for Conor. And, you know, Jose Aldo took that so personally because you're now insulting my country. I mean, he's done this to other opponents. But what he did not estimate, and what you just nailed correctly, is that Habib took it personally. So did Jose Aldo. But Habib took that to heart. And you heard him during the fight Saturday night say, talk to me now, as he's lowering right hands when Conor was in the feeble position on his back and could barely defend himself. And he kept talking to him. And I was listening to it during the broadcast going, oh my goodness, Habib is not trying to stop this fight. He's trying to extend the misery for Conor McGregor as long as he can. And I'm telling you, the most disappointed person when Conor McGregor tapped was Habib Nurmagomedov.
Do you think that McGregor's showing was just some rust of not being in the octagon for a while, or is Habib that much better of a fighter than him?
My first take when Conor McGregor stepped inside the octagon, and it was like Conor McGregor was playing the Conor McGregor greatest hits. He did the strut. He did the kiss. He did the arms extended. And normally he did those things after he won fights. I even saw him look at Herb Dean before the fight started and said, like, no, you're okay there, but I need this alleyway to do my Conor McGregor thing. It was almost like a facsimile of himself. And my first thought was, he looks old. He looks like a dad. He looks like a guy who hasn't been in the octagon in 2 years. And Lawrence, you know I love Rocky. And what did Mickey tell Rocky in Rocky III? The worst thing that could have happened to you, kid, you got civilized. And that's what's happened to Conor McGregor. He can talk the talk. He's normally been able to back it up, but now he's got proper whiskey. He's got more money than God after the Floyd Mayweather fight. For a guy that came from nothing from Dublin to now having everything, literally everything he could ever imagine, how can you be that hungry? Habib is still hungry. Habib does not seem to be a guy motivated as much by money that Conor McGregor is. And when you can fight a fight like you did against Floyd Mayweather, and yes, he took some punishment at the end because it did have to be stopped, but still not to the degree of punishment he took Saturday night, and you can make literally five times more doing that than this, I got to think his heart, after a while in that second and third round, he said, what am I doing in here? I got a baby at home. I got whiskey to drink, and I got money to spend. This is not the lifestyle for me anymore. That's what I observe.
So, Sauce, do you think that this means that we will, sooner rather than later, see Conor depart from MMA?
We could. Now, he said before the fight that he already had his wish list of maybe George St. Pierre. He mentioned Nate Diaz in the trilogy fight. I could see that again. What you won't see, you could see a rematch. It's very unlikely to me, though, even though Conor says that he wants the rematch now with Dana White. I think in his heart of hearts, he has to look at stylistic matchups that make sense for him. And Nate Diaz makes sense for him. Why? Because Nate, yes, he could easily win the fight if he takes this thing down on the mat like Khabib did. But Nate's got the same machismo that Conor has. So what are they going to do? Stand and trade. That's what Conor wants to do. So if he can find that big money fight, and a Nate Diaz trilogy fight would be a big money fight, then I think he does it again. But I don't think the George St. Pierre fight is realistic at this notion. A much bigger guy who's equally adept on the ground and certainly much more proficient than Conor is in that area. Well, that fight doesn't make any sense anymore today. And I don't know how much of a rematch fight really makes sense, other than you're going to sell the same things that the UFC's already sold. And, Lawrence, what I've always applauded about the UFC, unlike the NFL, they try to act like it's a safe game when we all know how violent the game is. The UFC sells the violence. They don't shy away from it. In the promos leading up to it, they were playing the soundbite of Conor McGregor saying, I'm going to take your head clean off your shoulders. I mean, they are very graphic in detail of what they're trying to sell. And for me, I applaud it. I love that part of it. We don't shy away from it. It is what it is. It is a brutal sport. Conor knows how brutal it is, and that's why I think maybe Khabib doesn't make sense for him, but I certainly see a Nate Diaz trilogy fight, and then maybe he walks off into the sunset.
You should follow Dave on Twitter at DRossSports. You should check out his show on Stadium, Sauce and Schramm. He also hosts The Rally. What time can people watch Sauce and Schramm?
You can check out Sauce and Schramm every day. Watch Stadium at 12 noon, of course, 11 o'clock for us. And then Game Time in America, The Rally comes on at 5 p.m. local time.
Saucy, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for breaking it all down.
Nothing but love, Lawrence. Anytime you need me, you know I got you.
That's Dave Ross. He is the truth. I love that guy. D-Ross Sports is where you can follow him on Twitter. You should check out his show on Stadium. I got a chance to work with Dave Ross for a couple years. Really knows his stuff. Is back and forth from Las Vegas. Knows the fight game. And I enjoy talking with him. Another guy I love talking with is Lance Briggs.
Okay.
L Boogie is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he doesn't want to talk about the Bears. I know that my man has saw Venom, and I know that he's got a review. He just came like around the corner while I was talking with Dave, and he's like, look at this, because we got some comic book stuff to discuss. We also got to talk about the Bears. We'll do that. Lance Briggs is in the house, the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We are at Chasers here in Lake Zurich. Come on through. Lance is here with me until 8:30. I'm here until 10. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.